Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. This is episode 320. I appreciate you tuning in to the episode. Hopefully you're a long-time listener or a first-time listener or maybe just an intermittent listener, but I really do appreciate you spending a few minutes out of your day to listen to me talk about photography, arts, and the creative life. I also wanted to remind you that there's about a week left in the Lightroom Virtual Summit sign-up period before the conference actually starts. I'll be teaching two classes, one on the magic of profiles and the other on DSLR scanning. So there's plenty of time still to sign up for that and watch over 40 classes for free next week, May 3rd through May 7th. Also, the VIP pass is still on sale for $50 off. So if you check out the show notes, there's a link for signing up for the free conference or purchasing that VIP pass with a pretty good discount. I have almost maybe no spots, but I think there's a spot or two left for a meaningful image workshop. So if you're interested in signing up for the meaningful image workshop, which will start in October, there's really running out of space there. So if you're interested, reach out to me in email or check out the information up on the website and you can sign up for that workshop. Amazing workshop. Really going to be a great group of people who've already signed up. Should be a really wonderful 6-7 months we spend together starting this October. It's all online. You actually don't have to come and hang out together for 7 months. So it's an online workshop. I wanted to talk in this week's podcast about the idea of cliff notes, and not just specifically cliff notes, but the approach that cliff notes takes to reading and learning about a book and how we learn about our craft. And if you don't know what cliff notes are, it's a way to actually not read the book and write your term papers when you're in college and in high school. They basically summarize themes, characters, key plot elements. And so a novel like War and Peace is distilled down into maybe 50 or 60 pages to read instead of hundreds of pages to read. And in some cases, they're great. I have no slam on cliff notes. I do think if you're struggling through a book, actually, and you're reading some of the more kind of densely challenging pieces of classic literature, cliff notes actually can help you identify certain themes and characteristics and keep track of characters. But in terms of if you only got to read cliff notes or you only got to read the novels, you're probably missing out on the nuance of language and conversation and pacing and all sorts of other elements within the novel that are not present in the cliff notes, because it's a distillation of key concepts and key elements. And it was that notion of that distillation that got me thinking about photography and whether or not cliff noting, just as a broad bucket of this distillation of information down, is the right way, the best way to learn the craft and art of photography. Because right now, we're at an interesting time in the evolution of learning, I think, because we've got access to the internet and content in a way that we have not had ever. So if you go back and you were a photographer and you were learning photography in the 1930s, you were in a much different position to learn photography than you are now. Because you did not have access to YouTube. You couldn't go to YouTube and search for pretty much anything about anything and get a video on it and get a sense of what that was about, get a sense of how to do something. And as I've been thinking about this way we learn and how we go about things, I was also reminded of the idea that the journey in some cases, in most cases, is oftentimes better than the destination. And while there are definitely destination vacation spots, you know, you want to go to Disney World, probably getting to Disney World is more exciting than being on the plane to get to Disney World. But the adventure to get through Disney World is a park to get to your ride you want to be on. Maybe that part has some adventure to it that becomes a part of the memories that you have from the adventure. And that, for me, in photography, is what kind of led to today's podcast, is I have the opportunity to sit down and learn anything at any point about anything in photography. Again, in even 2-minute bites, I could go up to YouTube and I could search for very small videos about how to do a technique in Photoshop or how to replicate the look of a certain film stock or how to do a certain kind of lighting, how to do a certain kind of type of photography. Maybe I want to get into food photography. Maybe I want to get into wedding photography. I can go find a video that very quickly shows me the core essence of that. And it's a distillation down of I'll assume it's a good photographer and a good video on YouTube. So we'll just clarify that. It's a distillation down of what is most likely years of experience, if not decades of experience, or at least thousands of hours of experience that have been put in to produce a high quality video with that information really well distilled down into the key essence of what you need to know. And if you go replicate that, and you replicate that exact moment, that exact thing in the video, what you actually have is the knowledge of that 2 minutes of the video. But I think you're missing out on an opportunity to discover and learn more about who you are as the photographer by giving yourself a chance to struggle a little bit, to maybe read or look at photographs and try to figure out and decipher how they're created. I'm oftentimes reminded of the experience of exercising your brain as a tool. And right now we're at a point where I don't have to think long and hard about anything to get the answer. The other day we were having a conversation about who is this particular female actor in a movie, and we were trying to remember who it was, and somebody just jumped onto their phone, looked it up, IMDb, we had an answer instantaneously. But there was something about that exercise of trying to remember who that female actor was. Because I could remember other parts she had been in. I could remember other movies. And I think if given enough time and a little bit of exercise, I might have been able to figure out the name. Or maybe it comes to me tomorrow in the shower. My brain gets to process that. It gets to discover along the way other movies, other notions, maybe movie quotes that come to mind, maybe other movies that they weren't in that I now get to remember. So there's this segue connection process that happens when given the chance to explore and journey along the way to the discovery of the information. And maybe there's something valuable to that in our photography. Maybe there's something valuable to saying, wow, there's a lighting technique for portraiture that I really like. And instead of jumping onto YouTube to figure out instantaneously how to create the light, where to put the light, what angle it needs to be at, how strong it needs to be, what the diffusion system needs to be. Maybe if I spent time looking at the photograph and figuring out how did that photograph get created? How would I create that light? How do I create soft, diffused window light if I don't have a window? How do I create, you know, Rembrandt lighting? How would I do that? If I actually set my light up there and move it and position it, can I figure out at what angle above and positioning to create Rembrandt lighting or butterfly lighting or flat lighting or whatever kind of lighting you want to do? Can I figure that out by experimenting? And I think for a lot of us, we've decided to give up the experimentation part, the ancillary learning that comes from figuring that out on our own in service of the quick answer. Because the answer is out there and it's available. And I think to me, that was the Cliff Note revelation, was I could go read the Cliff Note of any major piece of literature. I could also go read the summary of any movie. When it's reviewed, I could read the movie summary. I don't need to go see that movie. I don't need to go see the 5-6 pictures that were nominated for Best Picture for the Oscars. Why do I need to see those? I read the plot. I know who the actors are in the movie. I know who the director is. I've seen other movies by those directors, so I don't need to see that movie. We would never think about that. We would not approach seeing movies that way. But yet, I think we sometimes approach our photography that way, that we take that shortcut. We take the limited information, the distilled down, 150 proof alcohol version of it, instead of actually participating in the growing and in the sharing and the transfer of the knowledge that comes from taking what I know, filling in some of the pieces, and then extending that knowledge. Because one of the other things about photography that's interesting is we stand on the shoulders of all the photographers who came before us, who were willing to share and put work out there and talk about technique. We learn from them and we become a part of that pyramid that people stand on. And so part of your journey as a photographer, as part of your growth and your learning and your sharing, is figuring these little pieces of puzzle out so that you have the opportunity then to transfer that knowledge on to somebody else who comes down the road. And maybe it's not, you don't become a world-renowned book collector, you don't become a book writer, you don't become, a famous instructor, but, maybe your next-door neighbor, or maybe your kid, or maybe your cousin gets a camera and you're able to help them make slightly better pictures through the transfer of some experience you have. But you wouldn't deny them that experience of making the photograph and seeing that photograph and creating their own photographs. And so we want to make sure that we are supporting the creative act, the unknown discovery that comes from being on the journey. Because if you absorb information and you linearize it and you only do what you picked up on a 2-minute video, I think you're just not giving yourself the opportunity to allow the discovery of you in your creative process and in your craft and in your art that you're working on. And what you end up with is having photographs that look like everybody else's photographs. At some point in my teaching of others, in my work as a photo educator, what ultimately comes up is, how do I make photographs that are my own and not somebody else's? Well, part of that process is to give up replicating and working in small nuggets of information and to start to do the harder work of allowing your own voice, your own vision, your own style, your own way of being to come out through your work. It's easy to replicate. You know, put something on a copy machine, hit the copy button, you get a near exact copy. It's not exact. There is degradation in that process. So even your replication of somebody else's work is still a close but not complete equivalent copy of, because we've degraded it at some point because it's changed from the original incarnation. And this is not to say that I don't use YouTube for information. This is not to say I don't go out and look for information, but I try to make sure that I give myself a little bit of that struggle. A little bit of the Sisyphean approach is insane, where you just repeat the same thing over and over again, getting that boulder to the top of the hill, letting it roll back, never progressing. And at the same time, there's the other side of it, which is you only jump to the small, quick bite video. So to understand, how does a photograph composition work? How does a photograph framing work? How do you learn to see? How do you learn to compose? How do you learn to edit in Photoshop? Learning some of the more holistic approaches to that, your own holistic approach to that, I think would be really valuable for you to process and think about. Because in the nuance, in the small gaps, in the small sentences, in the small verb choices, the novel provides a richer environment. It creates the world. It allows us to get lost in that world. And ultimately, that's kind of what we want in our photography. We want to be able to read the photograph and look at the photograph and experience the totality of the photograph, not get the highlight view. And if you think about that approach of cliff noting your photography, and you handed me your photograph and asked me what I thought about it, and I said, themes of family, a boat, two kids, and a dog, and I handed it back to you. Yeah, I've got theme, family, I've got subject, I've got a bit of location. But is that really what you want the experience of my looking at your photograph to be about? Probably not. You probably want me to get the subtle nuance of the way you see and the world you created through that photograph. So I think you should give yourself that same opportunity to be on that journey and explore that journey. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you have a wonderful week of creativity out there. Don't forget, Lightroom Summit is going to be free May 3rd through 7th, so check that out. Really do appreciate you listening. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time.